time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and a big good afternoon to everyone.
Here. It is 39 minutes past the hour, and we're glad
and
we have...
And this is a very special Friday afternoon because we have a guest here, David Newell, and I'm sure most of you listening know David Newell better as Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And we're going to be talking to David Newell here until 3 o'clock today, and we'll take any questions you have. About the show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, if you're like me, you watched every episode, and you may have some questions as to where the characters are nowadays and anything else you liked. Well, first of all, Speedy Delivery.
Speedy Delivery.
Was there any particular brand of bicycle you rode in that?
I've never been asked that question.
Really?
I think it was a Schwinn.
Okay.
There were two bikes. One was a two-wheeler that I didn't master too well. I never, you know, strangely enough, I never learned how to ride a bike as a kid.
Oh, okay.
We lived on a hill, and no one had a bike.
Oh, I can imagine.
And so I didn't ever learn. Learned the first time I had a bike ride was in the studio when Mr. McFeely was delivering.
Really?
And I met after a while I mastered it, but the first time I did it, I circled around one of the set pieces and ran right back into it again. It was the tree branch, actually.
Yeah.
So, and we had, that's an outtake now, but no, I think it may have been a Schwinn. I'm not sure.
But later then it was a three wheeler.
Then it was a three wheeler, which seemed to fit the delivery service better because they put a placard of Speedy Delivery on the front.
That's
and
right.
It was more of an official bike.
And did you have a basket on the front?
Yes, okay. And a horn.
Right.
And a couple of the streamers that come out of the
handlebars.
So it was, and that bike now is in a museum.
Really?
Yeah, there's a in Pittsburgh. Again, here's another destination in Pittsburgh. There's a Heinz History Museum in downtown Pittsburgh, and it has all of Pittsburgh memorabilia and the Heinz bottles and things like that, but it also has the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood set on permanent display.
Really?
Yes.
The whole set.
And the bike is one of the artifacts. So if you're ever in Pittsburgh and you want to see the original set that you saw in Mr. Rogers Neighborhood all those years, go to the Heinz History Museum, and you'll see it on the fourth floor.
Got to do that. Now, how far driving time, and I was just in Pittsburgh here a few weeks ago, but we came back to Marion on the old Route 30.
Oh, you did?
Yes. That was quite something to see, all the abandoned service stations and restaurants that are, you know, the old 30 was busy at one time.
It still is in different sections.
Yes.
And now there's a part of it that leads from Pittsburgh out to Latrobe, which is Fred Rogers' hometown. But that's very busy because it's very mountainous there, and I don't think it, whatever road replaced 30, it didn't in that section.
Yes.
But Route 66 that went across the country.
Oh, yeah, right.
There are still elements of it that exist and are remembrances of times gone by.
Right. And there are a few remembrances of the old Route 30. I think there are still, in a couple of places, cabins small cabins.
Yes, yes. Like Madge's Cabins or things like that. Yeah. Very mom and pop. Yeah.
Remember, before motels became a word or a thing, we had cabins.
Right. Sleepaway cabins, things like that. Yeah. They were very charming, I thought. Yeah. You know, when we would take, as a kid, when we would drive on Route 30 and some of the older two-road highways, two-lane highways, I always wanted to stay in those cabins. I thought it would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
But my parents said, no, we're going to stay at a Howard Johnson. So that's what we did.
I had a cousin once, and her father bought one of those cabins when she was a young girl and moved into their yard, and that was her playhouse.
Oh, really?
Because they weren't, you know.
They weren't huge.
They weren't huge, right. We have, you have a visitor coming in, too. And yes, we welcome visitors this afternoon. We'll be here with Mr. McFeely until 3 o'clock today. Come on out. I have gifts to give away, too. And one thing, boy, I would like for this to go to some person. It's a Mr. Rogers songbook.
Right.
Wow.
And it's actually the songs from the program.
From the poem.
And it's called the Big Note Songbook. So it's basic arrangements.
Yes, yes.
And it tells you there the registration of what you can use it for.
It's, okay.
There's different instruments this can adapt to.
Oh, that's great.
But it's a songbook that I don't think you can get much anymore. But it'd be great for people who play piano or a music teacher who wants to add some different songs in his or her lessons.
Right.
It's called Mr. Rogers Songbook, and a picture of Mr. Rogers on the front. And is this one of our items that you're going to auction off?
Yes, we'll give that away. But I want to give it to someone that really,
appreciates
really could
it.
Use it, yes.
And I can sign it, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
So if you are interested in a songbook, it's right here. We can show it to our televiewers anyhow.
Oh, that's right.
There.
And on the front here, Mr. Rogers is holding the neighborhood trolley.
That's right.
Yeah. And some friends of ours have a neighborhood trolley in their house. Same size.
Yes.
And
well, you can buy a similar trolley through our company. It's
really?
It's not as big as the original, but it's about half the size.
Yeah.
But that they still sell them. And then there is a Daniel Tiger. It's on Daniel Tiger's neighborhood, too.
Yes.
You can buy that trolley also.
Oh, really?
So if you go on to our website, there's a lot of items that people don't know exist.
Uh-huh.
So I would suggest going on to fredrogers.org, and you could find the website and see what's available. But in the meantime, we'll make it easier for you because we have one right here.
That's right.
They need to do what? To
give us a call. I won't even ask a question for this, but give me a call. Say you're a music teacher or a parent that has a child that's so interested in music that you would appreciate this Mr. Rogers songbook. Why, let us know.
Sure. And the theme song is in there, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, along with some of the other songs that Fred Rogers wrote and used on the program. So it might be something. I had a friend who taught piano for years and years and years, and now she goes out and performs rather than teaching.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But she used this book for her very beginning students, who at the time were also watching The Neighborhood. So it was a nice...
A good tie-in.
Yes. So that's for music teachers. It might be a good... addition to your teaching collection.
And our number to call is 740-383-9944 here at WWGH. Now, I was going to ask Mr. McFeely or David Newell, Pittsburgh, it's not that far from where we're sitting right now, several hours travel,
of course.
But I want to find out a little bit more about Pittsburgh. I've been there a couple of times, but on specific purposes, not to see the general overall picture of Pittsburgh, but it sounds like, according to you, that I've missed a lot.
Well, Well, I guess any city. I missed a lot in Marion because yesterday, I'm going to talk about Marion first.
Oh, yes.
Came in because the roads were blocked off and because of the Popcorn Festival, and I passed, and I didn't know it existed, the Palace Theater.
Yes.
Which is beautiful.
Right.
And a town like Marion, this is not New York City by any means, but it's got a first-class theater, and it's a beautiful theater, and you're lucky that they saved it. A lot of them turned into parking lots.
Oh, that's right. And this came close. It was 1978 when a group of individuals in Marion thought enough about that theater that they got money together.
Good.
And an organization called the Palace Guard.
Well, that's similar to... Oh, that's a good... Oh, I just got it. The Palace Guard. That's Palace Guard. Congratulations. You ask about Pittsburgh. That's similar to what Pittsburgh did with their downtown area.
You have
an
atmospheric theater?
It's not atmospheric in the sense this one is. That was by John Everson, I believe,
right,
who's the architect. There are a couple of famous architects of theaters. Another company was called Rapp and Rapp. They designed a lot of the movie palaces, too. Now, Pittsburgh has saved three of them. And they've turned them into live performance theaters for the Pittsburgh Ballet and Opera have one of the theaters, and the Pittsburgh Symphony has Heinz Hall. The Heinz Company gave the money to refurbish it and fix it to be adaptable to live music.
Mm-hmm. But the Heinz family has had, what was it, Heinz? How about the Mellon family?
The Mellon, there are about...
And Carnegie.
Carnegie, Frick, Mellon, Benedum, Heinz, and Hillman's.
Oh,
all of those families have really, really helped Pittsburgh survive.
Okay, those families were in love with Pittsburgh.
They were. They all were. And a lot of the money that they give out, not all of it, but most of it, I think it's written in their bylaws, have to be a Pittsburgh project, give to it. And there's also another foundation called the Pittsburgh Foundation that gives money, and I think that's money that goes into a kitty of sorts that from different organizations that go under the banner of Pittsburgh Foundation. But they're all Alcoa. Alcoa is there too.
Alcoa,
and U.S. Steel. So all of those companies really helped Pittsburgh in its transition period when it was going from steel, the steel bottom fell out.
Yeah, it sure did.
And now Pittsburgh is changing from manufacturing, although it's still there and they're still looking for more, but what saved it are the medical and the educational.
Okay.
And the high tech. Carnegie Mellon University is one of the forerunners of the new ideas for the internet and computers and robotics. They have a robotics department too, which is first class. And Pittsburgh has also been a capital, so to speak, for filming movies. They've done a lot of... Batman was filmed in Pittsburgh, and right behind our house they filmed a Jake Gyllenhaal movie he was a boxer, and they used this big house. There's a big house behind our house that's sort of an estate, and they used it as a set for the movie.
Wow.
And I could look over our hill and watch them filming. Pittsburgh has had a lot of resurgence in the arts and people moving downtown Pittsburgh. And as I told you earlier, I'm on the board of the Pittsburgh Zoo.
Yes, boy, I tell you, you're a busy person yet.
And there's a little message brought to you, speedy delivery.
Okay.
Is that secret code? What does it say?
Yeah, we need a question for the book, right?
I'd say throw in some food, too. That might
Oh, yeah. Do we have some food to throw in?
I think we have the cupcakes.
Oh, that's right. We've got To Die For Cupcakes.
To Die For Cupcakes.
I drove
by that store yesterday.
Okay, yes, on your way. Yes,
To Die For Cupcakes. We'll give it a little plug here for helping us.
Now, let me see. I'll ask a question.
Okay.
Since we were talking about Pittsburgh, what two rivers are the main formation of the Ohio River?
A good question. Yeah. You're not asking me. You're asking our
listeners. Yeah.
Okay.
If you can name the two rivers that blend together for the Ohio River, we'll give you Mr. Rogers' songbook.
You mean if I answer, I get a Mr. Rogers songbook?
Oh, boy.
Well, yes. I can give them a clue. I'll just give them the letter of the both rivers. One river begins with an A, and the other river begins with an M. And together, those three rivers, the two rivers form the three rivers, the Ohio, and the Ohio ultimately goes into the Mississippi and down to New Orleans.
That's right, into the Gulf of Mexico.
And did you know that Pittsburgh was the largest inland port?
For shipping?
For shipping. Not the ocean-going vessels, but
interstate
shipping. Yes.
Right. 107.1 FM.
Okay, we have a... Oh, yes. We're going to be back here in just a moment.
We're taking a break. Speedy delivery.
Road, 127 North Main Street and 949 East Center Street. Phone number at Fahey Bank, 740-382-8231. Website, FaheyBank.com. And now celebrating 150 years in marriage.
The Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show, part of WWGH Radio's Place for Politics, on Wednesday and Thursday morning from 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday from 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. Give away history, news, and fun. Jim Blessing, grandson of President Warren G. Harding, announcing exclusively on WWGH Radio who he will support in the 2016 presidential election.
So your support would be with Trump?
I think that's what I would do. I think that that's where I would go.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protesters, so today I made sure we got here a little earlier, got through the checkpoints, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio, Republican National Convention, inside. I am sitting right now inside the Quicken Loans Arena looking at the Oregon delegation from the rafters.
No kidding, you're among the seats.
I am in the seats right now. I can see Oregon and Indiana and New Hampshire. I am in the arena.
Wow. Say, Scott, were you there last night for Cruz?
I was, and let me tell you, one of the discussions yesterday certainly was on the division feeling here at the Republican National Convention, and if the boos you heard on television was something last night, you should have heard the boos in this arena.
No kidding.
WWGH Radio, your place for politics. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Catch us on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching.
Okay, we're back once again here with our guest today from the Mr. Rogers neighborhood, of course, Mr. McFeely, better known as, well, not better known, better known as Mr. McFeely, not so much known as David Newell. And incidentally, If you're out and around, he will be here in person until about 3 o'clock today. If you'd like to drop in our studio, bring your kids. He'll sign pictures, do anything, talk to you, Mr. McFeely. Okay,
speedy delivery. Here I'm back on the mic again.
Yes,
Charlie.
Right. Okay, and I've got Mr. Rogers' songbook here. I've got some zoo tickets. I've got Cedar Point Halloween weekend tickets to give away, and our question was, name the two rivers that merge to form the Ohio River.
In Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, yes.
Yes, and I gave the clue of the first letter of both rivers.
Right.
One is the M, and one is A.
Right, yes.
And it forms the O, Ohio. Right. We'll give you that one.
Okay.
So if you go...
There's another river in that area. It's got a strange name to it.
Susquehanna?
No. It seems like it has a Y in it.
Oh, Youckagany.
Youckagany
River.
You can pronounce it.
I think it's an Indian name.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, there were a lot of Indians. Well, you know, Pittsburgh, it was the French and Indian War was fought right down at the Triangle. That is a big historical moment in our history. And there is a blockhouse that's still there, one of the forts from the French and Indian War. And it may even go back beyond that. But then the British somehow arrived. I don't have history.
Sure.
But there's a book. I'm a theater buff. And somebody has written a book about the origins of theater in the Pittsburgh area. And the first theater that was established was at the point where the two rivers meet.
Okay.
And the British soldiers put on plays for the community. And there was a little theater within the compound, I guess, and that was the first theater in Pittsburgh. Of course, it's gone now. But I think the one thing that remains is one of the forts, the blockhouse at the point.
Interesting, yes.
So, but Pittsburgh at one point, too, was a... what they call New Haven. New Haven, Connecticut is where a lot of Broadway shows tried out. Okay. And then they took them into the city. Well, Pittsburgh was also used as that because it's not that far from New York City. It was enough to get them tried out, and then they take the whole production in New York cross their fingers.
Wow.
And so there were a lot of theaters, and the three that I mentioned that they saved were, there were maybe 15 at one point. Three was saved, four were saved, as you saved the Palace Theater. So, but there is an organization called the Theatrical Historical Society. It's located now in Illinois, but they're moving their archives and offices to Pittsburgh, to the Heinz History Museum.
Really? Okay.
And that's where, if you are interested in studying the history of theater, the history of movie palaces, and the banner waving to save them.
Yes.
This is the organization to join. And every year we have a different conference in a different city, and we see the theaters in that city that were saved. So, and I think they've had one in Cleveland. I know they had one in Columbus already.
Oh, yes. Right.
And they've had one in Detroit. All these cities had big, big movie palaces, but they also had neighborhood theaters. Now, a lot of neighborhood theaters went out, A, because of television, but B, is that they had no parking lots.
Uh-huh.
But neighborhood theaters, you didn't need a parking lot because it was in a neighborhood and people would walk
from
to the theater.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's a history, a sort of social history of United States entertainment. You know,
sure.
It went through phases. Radio put out vaudeville, television brought radio down to more of a news media.
Right.
And now the internet is giving television a run for its money.
It sure is, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, so it's all, what's the word, cyclical? Cyclical? Cyclical.
Cyclical, right.
Cycle, I guess.
Yes.
So, at any rate, I'm a theater buff. That's why I'm going on a tangent.
Yes. Marion has gone through the same thing. We had neighborhood theaters all over town.
Uh-huh. They're all gone now.
And
probably
someone wrote a book about them. Yes, they're
all really?
Gone.
Did they?
Yes.
Do you know the name of it?
Oh, not offhand. It's at the historical site.
Oh, I'll have to get the name of that.
Oh, yeah, right. And, of course, we have the Palace. That Palace Theater now is the only theater left.
Uh-huh.
And there was an opera house up the street.
Is that gone?
The palace is here.
No. I mean the opera house.
Yeah, the opera house.
You mean physically the building's gone?
It's a skeleton, really.
Okay.
It's never been. It burned, or, well, it did deteriorated, and it's never been restored.
Okay.
It's a shame.
But anyhow,
Marion parallels Pittsburgh. We have the Nucor Steel Company here, a huge manufacturer of rebar and guardrails.
Oh, yes.
And they're a community support company. They do a lot for the community. Nucor Steel. hundreds of tons of steel a day produced there.
They make the iron fences or steel fences that go along the highway, things like that?
Everything. And their rebars are usually taken to another company in Marion and painted green. It's a rust-proofing coating.
Okay.
So that when they're put in a cement installation, they'll never rust. They'll never deteriorate.
But some leave the coating off of the fences, and they rust. But they think that is decorative. But, you know, it's interesting. The U.S. Steel Building, they made it, and they didn't coat it. No, I think they since have. But it was unfinished steel. It was a design.
Yes,
it wasn't a budget. It was design. And over the years, you could see the sidewalk.
Oh, we have a caller.
Oh, there's a caller.
Good afternoon. We're on the air.
107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com, located in the...
That must be Scott wanting the songbook.
Maybe Scott. Okay, call back, caller. Yes, we'd like to talk to you. So we're parallel. We have a theater. We have a big steel operation here. And computers, robotics.
Uh-huh.
We're great in robotics. We have national get-togethers of schools right here in town. Okay.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Damien Fryley. I would like to answer the question.
Okay.
Allegheny and Mississippi.
The Allegheny and Mississippi?
Yeah.
Half right.
Yeah, you got one right.
Want to take another guess? You're right on the first letter of the Mississippi. It's another river, and I can give you the second letter, M-O.
Okay, you think about that and call back, will you? She'll call back.
Okay. Yeah, look it up. Google it.
Yeah, Google. Everybody Googles. Who ever thought there would be a term of Google that everybody would live by?
Yeah, it's like Kleenex. It's an all-purpose.
That's right.
Because Kleenex...
Is everything you wipe your nose with.
Yeah, but it's not... Kleenex is very... I think they try to protect their brand.
Yes.
But you call anything Kleenex.
That's right.
It's good and bad for them, I think.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because even a poorer product, duplicating them... would be called Kleenex by people,
Like Puffs are called Kleenex.
Yes. 740-383-9944. That's our number to call. 740-383-9944. Name the two rivers that blend together to make up the Ohio River. And if my eyes were better? Yeah, Sean has got a note in his hand.
Oh, here he comes.
Yeah, okay.
This is...
Well, you don't... Oh, as a speaker. Oh, really? Oh.
You don't have to yell?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, and I was yelling at the speaker.
They hear you through the microphone. That's from...
Now, that's clever, isn't it?
Yes. That is from Scott, not from our caller, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. 740-383-9944. It's a little different today. Dr. Mealy.
Mr. McFeely.
Yes.
I answered anything.
Yeah, right. And same with me. I've got Cedar Point Halloween weekend tickets. I've got Mr. Rogers' songbook here. Oh, my goodness. And zoo tickets to the Columbus Zoo.
But the zoo tickets are for the special Halloween evening, right?
No, the Cedar Point is.
Oh, Cedar Point.
Yeah.
And the zoo is
and
the weekends?
Zoo is anytime.
What time is it?
Are good until the first of the year.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You mean the oh, that's right. The zoo would be open year
round.
Right,
yeah.
So, call in. What's the number again?
740-383-9944.
Yeah. Call that number and take a guess on the two rivers that, well, we know one of them. The two rivers that form the Ohio at the point of Pittsburgh. Yeah. One is the Allegheny.
Yeah.
The other begins with an M-O.
Yeah. It's not the Missouri.
Not the Missouri either, no, or the Mississippi. But she was close because
she was,
the river that she needs to name goes into the Mississippi.
Right. Yeah. Now, I flew over the New Orleans or the Delta of the Mississippi as it flowed into the Gulf of Mexico. And you wouldn't believe how far the coloration of mud goes into the Gulf of Mexico.
And I remember one of the terrible floods we had about 10 years ago.
Okay, we have a caller.
We have a caller.
Hey,
okay.
Good afternoon. We're on the air.
It's Damian Friley again. Is it Mahonganela?
That Mahonganela?
Monongahela.
He's right.
Monongahela, yeah.
Monongahela.
You're close enough.
Monongahela and the Allegheny form the Ohio, which in turn goes to the Mississippi, which in turn goes to New Orleans and the Gulf of Mexico.
That's right, yes. Down where they fish for a shrimp and, we have a break coming up here shortly. But let me get your name.
Damien Friley, but do you guys have any
Cosi
tickets?
No, we don't have any Cosi, but we got the Columbus Zoo and Cedar Point.
I don't really want to go up there. Do you guys have the To Die For Cupcakes?
The what now?
The To Die For Cupcakes.
Fizzy Bank is a proud supporter of WWGH.
I'm having a hard time hearing.
Somebody's going to come and
with three locations. In Marion, located at 1577 Marion Waldo Road,
right,
127 North Main Street, and 949 East Center Street. Phone number at Fahey Bank,
740-382-8231.
Website, FaheyBank.com. And now celebrating 150 years in Marion.
This is Scott Spears, and I hope you join me Monday through Friday from 12:10 to 2 p.m. to listen to guests like these. Phil Donahue.
29 years, and imagine what happened during those times. And we talked about it, and this show had my name on it. It was wonderful. You got to meet everybody. Is the caller there?
Sally Jesse Raphael.
All they wanted was shock value, and so they put in producers to do that kind of show, and I kept saying, no, I won't. And I made a conscious decision to do what I didn't want to do because I needed the money. And eventually they put me out of my misery by firing me. And that's okay.
Cookie legend, famous Wally Amos.
And around the corner comes George and Barbara Bush. The first thing that occurred to me to do was to play...
Legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
But it was kind of interesting because Phyllis Diller kind of always played on this, hey, I'm ugly image.
Well, baby, let me put it like this. I used to get so much revenue for playing witches. That's witches, as in Halloween. And darling, after I had that first beautiful facelift, I never again was offered a witch role.
Is that right?
Now that tells you a lot.
Yeah, it definitely does.
And my social life improved.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
All right, we're back once again, and our winner was Damon Parley, and she actually, we'll drum up the COSI tickets, so we'll give her two tickets to COSI. All right.
I think Damon was a gentleman.
Yes. Really?
Maybe it was his wife calling. At any rate, it was Damon Parley, and we'll thank him.
That's right, that's for sure. Okay, so we have zoo tickets. We've got Cedar Point tickets to give away, and we have Mr. Rogers'
songbook.
Oh, boy. And and our guest today, if you haven't heard yet, is David Newell, better known as Mr. Freely, the mailman on the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Show. Now, you still deliver mail, though, as a cartoon character on Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood.
That's right, although it's animated.
Yes.
But that's Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. But the character my Mr. McFeely is from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Right.
Which, by the way, Charlie, a lot of the listeners, we met some people in the hallway today in the mall, and they didn't know that the neighborhood is still available.
Okay.
They can see it on Netflix. It's on Netflix. On Amazon.com it's on.
Okay.
PBSKids.org has Mr. Rogers, as does, I think, Hulu and some of the other.
So it's available.
Oh, it's available, yes. Oh, wow. And there are about 300 on Amazon that they can download. Okay. And if you're Amazon Prime, I understand, I think they're free. So it's still there, and if you're listening to this, introduce your children or grandchildren to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Now, a lot of people are watching it, but some don't know, so I wanted to get that little plug in.
Okay, now when you watch it, does suddenly thoughts come back? Do you remember different things
on that particular
episode?
I do. Here comes another delivery.
Yes.
You told...
Oh, we need a new question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe we should get Scott to join us.
That would be good. Okay, another question.
Oh.
Let me think here.
Another question for the Mr. Rogers song or the zoo tickets? I'll tell you what. Yes.
If a listener was really listening, they heard me mention a product of Nucor Steel.
Good, okay.
If they can tell me the name of a product that the Nucor Steel puts out every day, why, you'll be a winner. And you can take your pick of Mr. Rogers'
songbook.
And I look at that neighborhood trolley on there. You know, back in 1959, a girl graduated from Harding High School, and she married a man, and they live up near Cleveland, and he's got his whole yard full of trains.
Really?
And it takes a lot of... Oh, we have a caller. Okay, good afternoon. We're on the air.
I can't win, Charlie, but it was Rebar.
Okay. All right.
You go. Well, thank you. Rebar. It's
hi, Mr. McFeely.
Hi. Okay. Delivery.
Thanks. Thanks for listening.
But she gets a prize, doesn't she?
No, she doesn't want. She's probably won within the past 30 days.
Yeah, I just won last week. But
if she leaves her address with Scott, I can send her an autographed picture. We can do that.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So just tell me, leave all the information with Scott, and we'll send you some, if you have some children.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. I'm 36. I grew up with Mr. Rogers. I love the show.
Well, here, let's get your name, and leave the picture.
What is your name?
Oh, Sarah Burgraff.
Oh, Sarah, okay. And, Sarah, what's your address?
Well, I'll come in and pick it up.
Okay, all right, good enough. That's good enough, Sarah.
But if Sarah has any other names,
thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Where are we?
What's your address?
Yeah. That's right. People don't like to give their addresses because a salesman will be at their door within an hour.
Selling rebar.
I remember the last Fuller Brush salesman.
Do they still sell Fuller Brush?
You don't want to buy a brush, do you? I said, no.
Do they still do that?
No.
Oh.
I haven't seen a Fuller Brush salesman in years.
Did you ever see?
Because I so discouraged the last one. When you don't want to buy a brush, do you? I said, well, no.
Did you ever see the Fuller Brush Man with Red Skelton, the movie?
Oh, I think so.
Well, now we need, that question is gone. We need yet another question. So I know.
The Birdman.
Well, we did that, but this is an easy question, and I probably did it last year, but we'll do it again. My character's name is Mr. McFeely.
Yes.
The Speedy Delivery Man. Fred Rogers wrote all of the scripts for the program, and he named the character Mr. McFeely in honor of his... That's the question. Do you know who Mr. McFeely was named for? It was a relative of Fred Rogers.
Wow.
And I guess it eliminates some people because
I remember last year you told us, but I'm sure no one remembers.
Yeah, and Fred Rogers' middle name was McFeely.
Is that right?
Fred McFeely Rogers, but he got that name, as I did, from a relative of Fred's, a very close relative.
Right.
So if anybody knows that, you could get a Mr. Rogers item, or you could get the...
Or you could get confused with me.
Or we can give you a rebar fence.
Yeah, right. 740-383-9944. When you're driving along the highway and you see a construction site and you see green rebar laying there.
And that's it.
They came from Marion.
Well, I never knew that. Well, I'm glad that it was that Sarah. Sarah knew that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Sarah Burgraff, yeah.
Well, Sarah, I'll leave your picture. I'm going back to Pittsburgh probably after 3. I have an event in Pittsburgh tomorrow, which I have to get
you
back
You might get
for.
There by then.
I might. I will leave the picture here. But if Sarah, if she has any other names she would like to add to that, tell her to call back and Scott, we'll answer the phone. One of you will answer the phone, right? And leave other names, too. And if anybody else is hearing this, and you're not that far from the mall, Marion Center Mall, we'll be at the WWGH studios.
Catty corner from the Children's Playground.
Children's Playground, that's what... Yeah. And come out and say hello, bring your camera, and we can sign pictures. People have been doing that on and off, and I'll be glad to sign them. And if you can't make that... You could leave your address with Scott, and he can email them to me, and I can send them from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So, but we'd like you to come in and see the studios, because what we want is people to know more about this very unusual radio station.
It is unusual.
It's eclectic.
Commercial-free, you might say.
Commercial-free, except for our giveaways.
Yes.
And Rebar gets a commercial.
But since we're a nonprofit station... We are supported by different organizations and businesses.
Well, that's good. And the guests that Scott and you and the other people have had on just are very eclectic. It runs a big range.
It sure does. Scott knows everybody.
He does.
Nationally or whatever.
He does. That's how he somehow... Found me, and he did. And he threw out the net, and here I am.
Yeah, right. Been here 2 different years.
I have. Well, this is the third visit, I think.
Yeah.
I came first, and I forget, it was cold, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Mr. Rogers sweater drive.
Right, the sweater
And that's
drive.
Where I first met you.
Right.
And then I came for the parade last year.
Right.
And now here I am for the parade and a few talk shows this year. And and maybe, who knows, maybe next year we'll have we should have a popcorn float.
Wouldn't that be something? Yeah.
You know, do you know, by the way, everybody listening, it's the irony is that Fred Rogers' favorite snack of all time was popcorn.
No kidding.
In fact, to the point we had a popcorn machine in our office.
Oh.
Then people complained about it was too it was too buttery. So we then replaced that with a microwave.
Okay.
And did the popcorn in in bags, which was a little tidier. But that was just... Oh, and I'll tell you this very humorous story. One day, Fred was flying, and it was in an airplane. It was sitting in his seat, and as people filed by you, some woman stopped and said, "Oh, are you?" And he said, "Well, yes, I am." And she didn't say the name yet. And she said, "I just love your popcorn." And and she thought he was Orville Rickenbacker. So that's a story that we've told all the time. But it does sort of fit in with this area, the popcorn.
Yes, that's
now,
right.
Now, tell me about the history of why is this the popcorn capital?
Well, at one time... We merchandised raw popcorn out of Marion to 60 different countries.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, they started making caramel corn, and it went on. And we once made Cracker Jacks.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You mean the Cracker Jacks?
The Cracker Jacks, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We did that for a long time. And the way they made Cracker Jacks, they put the solution in like a cement mixer, and it went around and around and coated all the popcorn, and they boxed it up with we have a couple of minutes, And they boxed it up. And that's gone now. It was owned by Borden's at one time.
But who so it's gone, and who bought it? We don't know.
I don't really know. But now we manufacture 400 brands, at least, of snacks.
Really?
Well-known national snacks.
Well, we gave some out at the parade last night,
yes,
too.
Yes, we did. We gave some. There's a popcorn man down the hallway here.
Here in the mall.
We gave away his popcorn.
What's his name?
I can't remember.
What is it? You remember the popcorn man's name in the mall? Not his popping station.
Popped Sensations.
Popping Sensations.
Yeah.
You know, it's you've got to come out for that, and maybe you buy some of his and then go to the movie.
Yeah. We have a minute left before we make the big break here.
Okay, but one more time, the what was your namesake?
Yeah.
Mr. McFeely was named for a relative of Fred Rogers. So maybe you can think up that relative's connection with Fred. Was it his uncle? And I'll stop there.
740-383-9944 is our number to call. And we'll be breaking here in about 30 seconds.
Oh, 30 seconds we have to go. The number one more time. Let me do it.
Yes.
740. Is that right?
Yes.
And you tell me and I'll repeat.
383-9944.
Call in. Make it a speedy delivery. We have some prizes here.
Cedar
so to speak.
Point, Zoo.
And a songbook. And we also have a few more we can add. And I